wonderful truth. Just been praying for the persecuted church. And if ever they know at this stage that there's a good shepherd, that we can pray that for them. There is a wonderful good shepherd and a wonderful true shepherd described in John. And this morning I just want to talk about him, our Lord Jesus, the good shepherd. It's just been constantly on my thoughts for weeks, and it was someone on a prayer meeting had shared some scripture from Ezekiel 34, and that was regarding some irresponsible shepherds, which there are around, both in church, outside, in all your social groups that you mix in. There are some bad shepherds. So this morning I'll touch a little bit on those bad shepherds, but really my main focus is the good shepherd, and it just melts my heart. Someone said earlier on about being thankful for peace in this world, and I'm so thankful that you'll find peace if you know the good shepherd. If you're with him in his pasture today, yesterday, tomorrow, you will find peace. But you'll also find that there's a dark valley which is unavoidable. I was reading Psalm 23, and in some ways it doesn't say that you'll avoid the dark valley, but he'll be with you in it and through it. That's wonderful, isn't it? Thinking about the persecuted church, just been praying for it. We can pray that the Lord would be with them through that dark valley. It's actually described as a gorge, dark, shadowy, death-like, but amazing that the Lord's there with us, with individuals. And I think that hymn, I love that little added word of the cross guiding. Can you picture that, just being in a valley, a circumstance that you think, how am I going to get through this? And in some ways you just see like maybe a shadow of light at the end, and it's silhouetted like a cross. I'm trying to be a little bit artistic, but there's something wonderful about that, isn't there? In that valley, when the Lord's leading his sheep, he goes out before them. There's a cross at the end that will get us through. Wonderful, isn't it? You may not be in the valley at the moment. You may be on the mountaintop, which is wonderful. The Lord takes us through all. And Psalm 23, actually, if you read through it, those few verses, it basically describes every single kind of walk of life that you will enter into. There's indoors, there's outdoors, there's going through tough times, there's joyous times, there's restoring. There's a huge, it basically covers what we will walk through in our lives. Maybe I shouldn't have sung that hymn because it does seem to churn some emotions. Then I have to blow my nose. Excuse me. I think there's something about the shepherd, though. The tenderness of the Lord Jesus and the care of him. I could stand here for days and try and explain it, but it's very hard. And it's only known in the very depths of your heart. But there is something amazing about the imagery of a shepherd and sheep. You know, sheep is the most commonly described animal in the Bible, and I can understand why. They're quite timid, they're a little bit thick. They do their own thing, they face the storm when the storm's coming, there's loads of different things. But for me, I can't get away from the shepherd. Just the care of the Lord Jesus. I could go around the room individually and you could have stories. You could have situations where you could say, oh, the good shepherd, he was there in that. He was right there in the valley. Just a few weeks ago, I went over to Anfield, to the football ground there, the home of football. And, sorry, Paul's there. Well, steady. You are visiting Dick, okay? So. But there was something. I went on the Friday evening and there were hundreds of people there. And it was because Franklin Graham's is the launch of this event. There were some there. We've got these little wristbands. You know, something really stood out to me was that there was a guy from Blackpool speaking. A church leader, wonderful, lovely guy, and he stood up and he actually came to know the Lord, correct me Jennifer, wrong, 1984, when that last crusade was at Ampfield. And one of the things that really spoke to me, I was sat there, he said, "Oh, stand up. Anyone that was here in 1984 that helped with that stadium, that crusade." And then you just, I remember just sat there and then you, one popped up. Another one popped up. Another one popped up. Lee popped up. Dave, Jenny, there was Pete Moffat. There was, and I thought, isn't that a wonderful sign that the shepherd is still working? His care is still working. 1984. Forward wind it up to now. Those men and women still stood up, still proclaiming that the shepherd is alive. He's true. He's good. Leading his sheep. Really, really impressed on my heart. Just that generation. And all of those ones that stood up could say, he's been a good shepherd. He is a good shepherd. Wonderful. And I think the man from Blackpool was actually not even in the stadium. I think he was on the grass outside listening in. And he heard the call upon his life. He was with his girlfriend. And then his life radically changed. Are you excited about that? It's true. A life of this man that was just turning up there. And then his whole life, now he's running things in Blackpool in a church group, meeting with others. And oh, it's wonderful what the Lord can do. If we let him lead us. One of the hardest things is letting the shepherd lead us, I'd say. Even down to our own personalities of being so strong. Sometimes maybe so independent that we can actually forget sometimes of just allowing the shepherd to have his gentle hand upon our lives. I'm learning that. The world pushes you to be strong, independent, ambitious, strong, businesslike, all tight and all. But then I get absolutely reminded each day that the shepherd is there. His hand is with tender love. Precious Lord, I've not gotten to my scriptures. If you have a Bible, would you turn with me to John chapter 10? I just want to speak. I'll try and get through this John chapter 10 is just really, I was trying to look at it from the viewpoint of the shepherd. And then if I get through this, I'd like to see it from the viewpoint of a sheep. Psalm 23. So you have the shepherd's viewpoint and the sheep's viewpoint. So let's just read John chapter 10. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Can I just say, sometimes I have to put myself in that category. I read scripture and now I'm thinking, Lord, what do you mean by... Then you have to grapple with it, keep reading it, keep trying to understand it, let it sink in, and then something just happens like that. I'd recommend that, rather than you can read it, skip on by and say, oh, that's wonderful. I think the Lord gives us the mind to actually just try and understand it, dig a bit deeper. Sorry, that's just a little thing. Recommendation? Is that okay? One thing I read about was this thing about the shepherd, that he knows us by name and that we know his voice. And I was reading about shepherds in Palestine. And you know that often when, maybe this is around biblical times, but the shepherds would all meet at a certain area. Maybe it was around where there's water. and they'd bring their little flocks or fold and they'd come meet. And there was something amazing about these Palestinian shepherds, but when it was time to go, they would start to sing, and they'd sing out, and amongst all of the sheep, each sheep would know who their shepherd was. And as the Palestinian shepherd walked off, the sheep would just follow him. And I just thought that was a wonderful picture. Even amongst all these other sheep, he knew the voice of the shepherd. And he would walk and sing. And as he sang, and I was thinking about the Lord singing over his people, and you just get that little sound of it, and then you go in that direction. And I just thought, how wonderful it is that of amongst all those sheep mixed in together, feeding, and when that little voice started to sing, they would just go and move. Wonderful. He knows your name. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The more I read about this story, and I've had to read a little bit about the actual practicalities of shepherding. Anyone an expert on shepherding? No? Good, because that's... I won't be out of, but there's something wonderful, which is quite key actually to shepherding, is the doorway. You know that many shepherds actually were the door themselves. They'd lie down in that entrance, and that was just to protect the sheep. Often at night time, often at time when the wolves are out trying to get over the walls, trying to get in under. And it just really spoke to him about the Lord, that he himself is our door to that fold. He himself. And one of the things at the moment we're going through as a flock or a fold here at the Longcroft, we're asking the Lord for, we've all been challenged about growth, planting and different. And just for me personally, it can be quite easy to lose focus of the Good Shepherd and forget that he is the one that leads and goes out and goes through. That's just from my own heart. And get caught on how will it work? What's going to happen? We must keep doing this. One thing that's so imprinted on my heart at the moment is that the Good Shepherd is in control. He's leading. He's the door. He will lead those out into new pastures. And what does he do when he leads the sheep out into new pastures? I had to read about what the sheep do in new pastures. Well, early in the morning, this is a great fact, early in the morning when the dew's there, sheep go out and they drink the dew off the grass. Early in the morning. And I thought, well, that's a wonderful picture, isn't it? Early. Lord leads us out early. Yesterday I was chatting to someone and he said to me a comment, he said, I'm a believer, but I'm not a practicing Christian. I was trying to work that out. I'm a believer, but I'm not practicing Christian. And I couldn't work out the actual theology of that. But do you know what? What spoke to me was that I think one of the dangers for the church, maybe in the West, is apathy. So he was willing to say that he's a believer, but in actual fact, to back it up with a life that's laid down is a different thing. And I think what I find about the Lord Jesus being the Good Shepherd is he's constantly leading his people into different areas of new pasture. Then he'll bring us back into the fold of safety and security. Then he'll bring us out again. And I was going to try this morning and have some props with me of a staff and a rod. And just wanted to explain the things about a staff and a rod and how the Lord Jesus, when he calls your name this morning, individually, you've got a name, haven't you? Yeah, wonderful. The Lord calls that name, and as he calls you and you're coming in or out of that fold, with his rod, he's just guiding you. And the other thing is, with that rod, I tried to work out the difference, because it mentions in Psalm 23 the rod and a staff. Again, some of you would know, but just that thing of staff, something to walk with, something to support. He supports his sheep. The rod has a different thing of maybe some discipline. You know, you get stuck in that hedge. You maybe go astray. You may be wandering, and he gets that rod, you know, one with the crook on, and then it just back into again, back in line, back in line. Just amazing how it describes the Lord's wonderful guidance to us. It's in my notes here. The Lord's crook. The rod has differences. One is used for diligence and defence. The other for guidance and discipline. Wonderful. Let's go on. John chapter 10. Verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life. What a difference. And that they may have it more abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. One thing on that alone. Do you know what? It's absolutely fraught with danger being a shepherd. Just in my own little bits of homework. It is fraught with danger. Can you remember David, shepherd boy? Who did he wrestle with? What animals? Lion and a bear. How would you feel standing up against a lion and a bear? And what was the key word that he said? I read it. Should we just... I'll go there. You don't need to go there. There was one word that really spoke to me about young David. When he was faced with it. This is when he was almost doing a little self-appraisal to go and face Goliath. He was talking to Saul. And he says this. He says... But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord, this is the key bit. You could say, well, that's very masculine, manly, amazing story. He says this, moreover, David said, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And what really spoke to me was this ingredient of faith in there. He was willing to go after that little lamb that was caught in the mouth, but he almost went out in faith, didn't he? Do you see where I'm coming to say? Because he's actually going out almost not careless, but it was faith. He went out to try and rescue that little lamb from the mouth of the bear and the lion. And then he was saying, thank you, Lord. I trust that you will deliver me. Do you get what I'm saying? And I think the Lord Jesus is like that. How he goes after the lamb. The sheep that goes astray. Precious Lord. Verse 13. The hireling flees because he is a hireling, and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. And am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. This starts to open up the thing of Jew and Gentile. And if you read chapter 9, I realise that the importance of reading chapter 9 to understand chapter 10. And at the time, the Pharisees, I mean, they were getting ready to stone Jesus. And Jesus had just healed the blind man with the clay from the spit and the ground. And then they cast out the blind man from the synagogue. And the whole thing about this is that they would not believe. They would not believe. And I think this is the whole thing about the entrance to the actual sheepfold, is that there's a time when each individual has to come to this entrance place and say, I believe. I believe, I change my heart, Lord, I run to you. Everyone has to. There'll be some that will try and get up the sides, it describes, doesn't it? But everyone has to. Everyone this morning has got someone, excuse me, in their heart that you just want to bring him. You just want to bring him to the entry, to the fold. Don't you? We were with friends yesterday. And this lad's grown up in church and listened to many messages. And then thinking about in Isaiah, it describes that each one, they go their own way, don't they? Do you remember that? There's a thing in Isaiah 53. They kind of choose a different way to go. And my heart is, oh Lord, I want them to come back to this entrance place, to the fold, a safety in the fold. Sometimes I feel an enormous pressure because of love for people that don't know the Lord yet, but I realise that actually the Lord's a good shepherd. He's going after that one that's gone astray, the 99 are safe and secure, he's running after. And if you keep reading about that story, I keep thinking it's about those even with young faith. You know, the wolves and the devil will often pick out those maybe with young faith, maybe those that have just made a move to the Lord, and the devil often is there and he just wants to take away a response. He goes after that one. Precious Lord. Verse 17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up. I command, I have received. This command I have received from my Father. After this, incredible that they want to stone him. You read through this chapter and then they want to stone him. And I'm thinking, this is our wonderful shepherd. Just go with me into this Ezekiel 34. Brian's been in Ezekiel for a while, and I just want to bring some attention to some bad shepherds. You know, there are bad shepherds around, even those that would say that they're in a body or a church. And this is one of the things that really spoke to me. It's so completely opposite to the good shepherd. But I think it's something that we need to be aware of. It says this, chapter 34, my heading is Irresponsible Shepherds. This is a prophecy. Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. There you have it in a nutshell. Who feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flocks? You eat and eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field, and they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely, because my flock became prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for the flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed the flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. And the Lord says, behold, I am against the shepherds. I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. I will deliver my flock from their mouths, and they may no longer be food for them. And it goes on about God being the true shepherd. You know, everything smells about this self, the feeding themselves. And I thought, well, I think this is almost in the various states of society that we live in now. It can be in government. It can be in social groups. There's often there's a sense of this self-gain. And we have to be aware of it. Precious Lord. Just go with me into Psalm 23. Such a wonderful psalm and so short. Speaks this wonderful truth about the Lord Jesus. David just had a way of expressing the closeness of God's heart. Psalm 23. The Lord, the shepherd of his people. I want to read it out, is that okay? There's something wonderful that the things that we go through in life, the very nitty gritty things, is that if you read scripture and ponder what the Lord's got in this living book here, his living word, man, it changes your whole viewpoint about the things that you're going through. So just as I've been doing homework on the shepherd, the good shepherd, it's totally changed the things that in some ways are in my day-to-day living. And now I can see that that's how the Lord speaks to his church. If each of us individually are reading the living word and then it being applied in our normal everyday life, that's amazing. If you were to ask me a question, how do you hear the Lord's voice? I'd have to say I haven't heard it audibly, but this is one of the amazing things. I've heard his voice just through doing some preparation on this here. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, just remember this, that he knows your name. You could even put your name there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. That was mentioned earlier on this morning, wasn't it? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, when you read it, this is life. This is wonderful, mundane, everyday life of routine, of patterns that we all go through. Even in that there, we can find great, wonderful green pastures where the dew in the morning is there. Why was it such a wonderful thing for the sheep? Because they lived in such arid land, but there wasn't always water to drink. So the Lord, amazingly in creation, has got dew that would just actually, the sheep could go and just drink. You might be going through an actual patch of dryness, wilderness, of not aridness, of all that the Lord just brings, just timely drinks for you. What did I write down here? It describes all the aspects of human life. Verses 1 and 2, it talks about the outdoors. Verses 6, it talks about the indoors, doesn't it? Where's verse 6? Surely goodness. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's indoors, okay? Outdoors, indoors. Verse 2, it talks about peace. Verses 4, talks about peril. Then it talks about the possibility of evil, verse 4. Then it talks about the prospect of good, verse 5. Then it talks, and I'm trying to think about a different word than restore, and it's thinking about invigoration. Invigoration of the soul. Then it talks about times of ominous gloom, verse 4. Then it talks about the experience of following, verses 1 and 2. Then it talks about a life of stable security, verse 6. It talks about everything that we go through. I believe there's times when we are just kept in the fold. I wonder if there's seasons that we go through as we walk with the Lord where the Lord just keeps us in the fold. The only thing with that is, this is the amazing perfection of the Lord's timing, is that in the fold, I was thinking about the sheep in the fold, they trample all the grass, don't they? Gets muddy. You know, there's some rain, it gets muddy, it gets polluted. Getting hungry, where am I going to? Then, the Lord in his perfection and timing knows when to open the door. And then he goes and he just says, go. Calls them by name, go, go, go. Fresh, green pastures. Can you picture it? I don't know if you're with me or not. You are. Thanks, Jenny. Jenny's with me. But can you just see, in our everyday lives, there is a time when we're in a fold, and the Lord will just keep you secure. He'll keep you safe. You'll know his love. You'll know his touch. He'll come round, and I was thinking about, they go and inspect the sheep with his rod. He'll peel back the wool, and he'll just look for any cuts, any grazes. So, it's caring, isn't it? And then he'll know when to open that gate, or himself being the door, he'll just step back and he'll say, go, say your name, go into the fresh pastures, run. Then there's another time to feed next to the still waters. Just amazing language, isn't it? Then there's the valley, which we don't like to talk about too much. Valley of the shadow of death. One thing I just totally believe is that the Lord, he's already been in that valley. He's already treaded those steps. Never leaves us there. And I just thought about different individuals here, different things that people face, that have faced illnesses, bereavements, even problems now. And I think, oh Lord, if ever the place where the Lord is, and you know and you can sense and know him, is often in that valley. Remember, I talked about the Palestinian shepherd singing. It's in that valley, I think, you can just hear the Lord's, just this singing over his sheep. Just reassurance. I'm out in front of you, leading the way. You don't need to muster up all your energy and be tough, and I'm leading the way. Verses 2 to 5, he makes, he leads, he restores, he guides, he's with us. He prepares a table, he anoints our heads. Oh, wonderful, I counted it up and there's 7. Then I thought, perfection. Is that great? It's perfection. He's the perfect shepherd. He's the true shepherd. He's the good shepherd. His paths of righteousness, Basically, these are the paths that are right in his eyes. Often we see it through our eyes and we try to work out whether it's right or wrong. And, oh man, I don't like this path that you're leading me on, Lord. It's just really... He knows the paths. In his eyes, he's seen it. He's walking it with you and I. Precious Lord. I had on my phone, I've just been so gripped by my conversation yesterday with someone that, oh, desperate for people to come into the fold. You know, it grips you. It doesn't scare me. It doesn't, in some ways, I don't lose sleep and have to count sheep. But there's something in it where it grabs you. You say, oh Lord, I want them to come into the fold because I realise it's a wonderful place to be. Are you happy being in the body here in the church? And that's a very silly question. But if you're not, it does actually make it quite hard to go out and tell someone about how amazing it is. Does that make sense? It's wonderful being here. What we've sung this morning. The words, the prayers. And that's what you want with people to come in. There's life, abundant life. And we pray, don't we? And we keep praying. Keep having those steps of hope. Dear Shirley, just caught your face then. Those steps of hope. Keep praying for those steps of hope. I've just put this on here. It says here about hearing Christ's call. Number one, I recognise it is God who calls me to himself. He graciously invites me to come under his care, to benefit from his management of my life, to accept his provision for me. Number two, I respond to his overtures by taking him seriously. You know, that often is something that actually, if you speak to some people, there's often quite a flippant comment. Or there's almost a kind of a let's put it under the carpet kind of thing. There is a seriousness about this actual change of direction. I alert myself to act. That means you do have to do something. The Lord is the door, isn't he? And he invites us to, go through. I open my life to him so he may, in truth and reality, enter to share it with me. Number three, I then run to do whatever he wishes. Have you got running still? I cooperate with his desires. I regularly do his will. Thus I enter fully into the greatness of his life, grateful for his care. This is to hear Christ's call and to respond. Any man or woman who does this belongs to him. That's true, isn't it? From the evening when I responded to the Lord Jesus in a windy old marquee down in Exeter, it was then that I said, Lord, I want you. It was then that I believed that he was at that sheepfold and he was saying, oh son, come in. Every man and woman who does this belongs to him. As a member of the flock, the sheep of his pasture, our Lord has them there, here and then, in 10,000 times, 10,000 tiny folds, each flourishing under his infinite love. Time is gone. You know that there are many folds. Many folds. Here represented is a fold. There's a sheepfold here. There are sheepfolds locally. There are sheepfolds over in Liverpool. There are sheepfolds around. The Lord has his little folds. But there is one flock. And there is one shepherd. Oh Lord. Can I just say this morning, if you have not known the shepherd's hand or shepherd's care upon your life, you can have it this morning. It's just like that. Maybe you've actually gone on your own path slightly. You've gone astray on something. Well, you know that the shepherd is here and he says, oh, I'm after you, I want you again. And we can do that this morning. Should we do that? You know, I talked about something about that. Sometimes there's an act of doing something. And often just in my preparation about the Good Shepherd, I said, oh Lord, I want to come under your hand again. I've gotten a little bit busy with things. Got preoccupied with things. Let's come back to the shepherd. Should we do that this morning? I'll just pray. If you want to pray, you can. I invite you to pray. Precious Lord. Lord. Lord, we love your tender care and mercies. Lord, in our hearts, you've placed people, Lord, that we want to pray for, that we so want to come into that lovely fold, Lord Jesus, where you know their names, Lord, where you invite them in, Lord Jesus. Lord, stir again in our hearts prayers, Lord, for those that are unsaved, and for us, your fold here, Lord Jesus. Lord, just lead us, we pray. Lord, if it be into new pastures, green pastures, near the still waters, Lord, quietness. Precious Lord, we pray for that. Lord, if there's people here this morning that need that, the restoring of their souls, Lord, would you do that? I pray. Lord, would you anoint their heads, Lord Jesus, so their cups might run over. Lord, all of us are in various situations, Lord Jesus, but we have one amazing thing, is that's the Good Shepherd, the true shepherd. Lord, and we love you this morning. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for our time this morning. Thank you for feeding your sheep, Lord. Thank you that it's fresh every morning. Lord, the dew. Lord, that quenches every dryness in our hearts. Lord, just coming together, singing together, praying. Lord, doing the very simple things and wonderful things of worship, Lord. There we find that dew, Lord. Lord, that just comes and sustains us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you today. Love you for being together. We love you for one another, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you know us by name. And Lord, you're leading us. Your cross is the guide before us, Lord Jesus. Pray for any hearts, Lord, this morning that may want to say, Lord, I want you as my shepherd. Lord, I pray that the response wouldn't be taken away by those wolves, the ones that try to deceive. They would find abundant life in you, Lord Jesus. Precious Lord. Amen.